Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
Hello, Northwest Christian School family. We have my friend Nicole here, along with our friend Dr. Alan Sawyer. And we've been hitting this idea of the Imago Dei, the image of God. And it's just so far-reaching. And today we're going to look at what that looks like in the area of sanctity of life. And for that, we have our friend again, Dr. Alan Sawyer. And you're an obstetrician.
That's correct.
Doctor that cares for women during pregnancy. How many babies in your career have you delivered?
About 11,000.
11,000.
Yeah, small town.
Yeah. That's like my hometown.
that's amazing. And how long has that career been?
First baby in 1986.
Wow.
And then here in the Valley since 1989. So.
Okay. Wow. Did you, any grandbabies? Have you delivered any like babies of babies you've delivered?
Yeah, or? Yeah, okay. I've delivered babies to babies I've delivered.
Okay.
Yeah. And then probably know my son actually married a girl that I delivered.
I did that crazy? Yeah. Brittany, yeah. So great. You're an expert in this, and I'm going to ask, when does life begin? As an obstetrician, as a doctor, when does life begin?
I think this is something that the popular press doesn't really cover, but life begins, according to science and embryology, when a unique egg and a unique sperm join and form a unique individual. And if you put that unique individual inside of a womb and nourish it, that baby will grow into a child and be born and grow into an adult. So you really have to say that life begins at fertilization.
Okay. And I've heard you say that the womb is one of the most dangerous places, if not the most dangerous place in the world to be. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you define the most dangerous place in the world as the place that you're most likely to die, then the womb is the most dangerous place in the world to be, because more people are murdered inside of a womb than any other place.
Wow. Yeah. Why do you think it's, we're talking about, you know, kingdom culture and that the people of God, we want to follow Jesus and this idea of sanctity of life. Why is this so important, this idea of sanctity of life? Why is it so important that we cling to this truth?
You know, I think as Christians that we believe that we are created in the image of God, and that we're unique, that God knew us even before we were born. He knew our days before we were born. David the psalmist writes that. And so when you start to reject that, and you reject that there is no God, that there is no Jesus, that there is nothing unique about us, that we're just a pile of carbon and water, then all of a sudden, life becomes dispensable and cheap. And so we need to realize that our core beliefs of God and Christ and uniqueness and being made in the image of God is what makes us priceless.
Yeah. Why, I think I've heard before you've spoken, so love when you've come and spoken to the staff, and I think that I've heard you tell this story before, but particularly you personally, why are you pro-life, and what's the story behind that? I know beyond being a follower of Jesus and clinging to the truth of the gospel, what kind of you expand that out a little bit?
Yeah, so back in the 1930s, there was a woman who was diagnosed with a disease called consumption, which is the old term for tuberculosis. We don't call it that anymore, but she was told to never get pregnant because tuberculosis goes through the placenta into the baby. And then, so if she was told to abort that baby, they ended up getting pregnant anyway because they really wanted children and they didn't have any. And so she went on to get pregnant and have a child, even though she was told to abort. by her doctors, which would have been legal back even in the 1930s. And then they didn't ever have any more children, but that little girl ended up going on to nursing school, and she ended up having her mom tested for tuberculosis. They had learned some things, and so she had her mom tested, and it turned out that her mom had never had tuberculosis, that she was negative. And then, but then that little girl, that nurse now, ended up getting married and had two children. And on December 7th, 1960, she had her second son, and that second son is me.
Wow.
And so I'm just very grateful that my grandmother didn't abort my mother. Otherwise, the consequence would be that I wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm. Even with the encouragement of the doctors, like a medical, that's a lot of the argument, is that if there's a medical condition or the mother's life is threatened, and even her making that courageous decision, even with medical advice telling her to do so, that's really awesome. So in your career, you've delivered, you know, my hometown. I mean, not really literally, but the number of people in my hometown. Have you ever had to deliver a baby with a birth defect, and then this defect was a threat to their life? And what was that experience like? And what kind of did you see come of that?
Yeah, well, one baby in particular always comes to mind. A couple, he was actually a pastor of a church here in town, and his wife came into my office after their ultrasound and had been told that the baby didn't have a brain. Mm-hmm. It's called anencephaly, where there's no development above about this point, and the whole brain's exposed, whatever is there of the brain is exposed to amniotic fluid, and it's almost uniformly fatal. I've never seen one survive beyond a month. And so I talked to them about what their issues are or what their options are. And of course, termination of pregnancy wasn't an option for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's called perinatal hospice, where you will care for a pregnancy where you know that the baby won't survive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hospice for old people, sick people, and then that goes all the way down to caring for an unborn baby even while it's still inside the womb. But that little boy, his name's Benjamin, and Benjamin in the Old Testament has two meanings. One is son of my right hand or son of honor, and the other is son of sorrow. And so Benjamin was the perfect name for this little boy. And Benjamin was born, and they had all their friends from their church and family were all there, and Ben lived for 7.5 hours. The photographer came in and took 1,200 pictures of Ben. Wow. And then Ben's story has subsequently been told by me and by lots of other people. It's been used as a basis for legislation promoting perinatal hospice. But one of the most remarkable things was Ben at his eulogy, at his funeral. He had over 300 people at his funeral. And at that point, over a dozen people that we knew of had come to faith in Christ from Ben's life of 7.5 hours. And so one of the pastors started his eulogy by saying, I want to be just like Ben. I want to have every hour of my life count to the same level that Ben's life counted. Can you imagine that if for every 7.5 hours of your life, that 12 people would come to the Lord? Mm-hmm. And that for every 7.5 hours that you survive, that many people, that 300 more people would show up at your funeral? Mm-hmm. So that over a lifespan of 80 years, how many hundreds of thousands of people would come to know the Lord, and how many millions of people would have to show up at your funeral to match Ben's life? And so he finished the sermon by saying, so I want to be just like Ben. Do you? And I think that when people say that, well, that baby has a birth defect, that baby is, it's just going to die when it's born. Why don't you just get it over with now and abort the pregnancy? And they would have missed that whole blessing of all of that.
That's so powerful, so powerful.
Now, as an expert, you are an expert. Now you're going all over the world now.
Yeah.
Can you give me a story out of what's going on in Indonesia or somewhere over there?
Well, they're all hunkered down because of COVID-19 right now, because they're scared. And they need to be scared because most of the hospitals that I go and work at don't have ventilators. Mm-hmm. So if you need a ventilator, then that's the end of your life.
Yeah.
So That's what's actually prevented me from being outside the country right now, is because they're all locked down, which they should be.
So as a Christian, love Jesus, pro-life, I'm going to deliver any babies, unless there's nobody else around.
Like a real emergency.
Yeah, that'd be a real emergency.
Real emergency.
But what do we do?
The mother's screaming, is somebody else out there?
<That's right. laughs> Anybody.
I don't think anybody else watching is either. I hope not. But what do we do, Dr. Sawyer? How do we live now when we know these things?
I think we need to live boldly.
Yeah.
And, I have to say, you probably will agree that this whole COVID-19 thing has really emboldened a lot of people to be much more vocal about their faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at social media and what's happening, and people posting prayers, and people declaring Jesus and declaring God on the profile pictures on their Facebook page. Yeah. People that would have never have done that before. And I think that the rest of the world is watching.
Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.